And I think what God wanted us to know is the essential ingredient for a person who walks with God is the issue of spiritual discernment. It's being able to evaluate and see life through God's eyes and not through our own. It's being able to raise our sons and daughters through God's eyes. It's the ability to be able to lead people from God's perspective. The ability to be able to analyze the world through God's eyes.
It's what we stand for. We would love to encourage you, and we believe the great source of that encouragement is the Bible itself, God's encouraging word. And our speaker, Dr. Don Wilton, will encourage you with insight today on a message called A Long Walk to Mount Zion. Now you're going, now what does that have to do with encouragement? Oh, trust me. Yeah, let's open God's word together and see how God's going to use this teaching from Dr. Wilton to strengthen you where you are, but in a way that reminds you, you can't be content to stay where you are. In this journey of life, we need to be moving forward. And we'd love to move forward with you, to pray you and encourage you through the next steps. 866-899-WORD is our phone number. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to connect with you. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
I want to say to you that you're about to hear something that God wants you to hear. So before I even open my Bible, I want you to know that we're going to take a long walk today from the valley of Mount Sinai to the peak of Mount Zion. So I want to just set something out before you, because there are many, many people who are taking this walk, this journey. You know, it seems to me that the older I get, the more I look over my shoulder and I look back and I see from whence I have come. I look at the journey. I think about my life. And I look back and I'm amazed. I'm amazed that for me, for Don, for this Christian man, that today, by God's grace and through His invitation, that actually I have been positioned on Mount Zion. When you think back from whence we came, long before any of us were even here, it began with a group of people leaving, getting on flimsy little boats, and arriving on a brand new seashore. All the things that went on during that journey. We could talk about a lot of wars, a lot of heartache, a lot of struggle, sacrifice, great heroism. We can talk about all these things. But that which began with a flight from ended with the Declaration of Independence. They went from the valley to the mountain. And we are the ones who benefit. We are the guardians of that. Now, friends, God is going to speak to you today at a very deep level. And I'm going to try my best to explain this to you. I believe that there are many, many people, and you may well be one of them, that you've been on a journey for many, many years. Your journey has been a journey trying to find God. And for the most part, you've done a jolly good job of it. But you haven't found Him. Your journey began back in the valley somewhere. In the Bible, if you were to take your Bible, and I've got my Bible in my hand here, if you take your Bible, the Bible goes from Genesis to Revelation. Everything in God's Word in the Bible is connected. Everything. And everything that happened in the Bible is designed according to God's purpose for you and for me. So if you are to go back into the beginning of the Bible, to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, and so on and so forth, when you get back to the very beginning, we find the story of the children of Israel. The Israelites, we know all about them. I happen to be a great fan of the Jewish nation. That's why I love going there every year. It's a passion of mine. But also for a lot of reasons, because that's where Jesus was first revealed to his people. That's where Jesus came. But before Jesus came, God spoke and began this pursuit after God in behalf of the people that he loved. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to this. God made himself known back in the book of Exodus on a mountaintop. It's called Mount Sinai. I just happened to have been there myself. Many of you have too. Some of you went with me several years ago. You remember when we camped out there in that desert and it was freezing cold, believe it or not. And at 1 o'clock in the morning, they woke us up and we got on camels. Do you remember that? It was so pitch dark, we didn't know where we were going and probably were glad we didn't when we saw where we were going when the sun came up. And we began this camel trek, this journey up Mount Sinai. I remember it like it was yesterday. And for several hours, there we were in pitch dark being led by Bedouins in the Sinai desert. And we went right up to the top of Mount Sinai. When we got to the base camp, we had to leave our camels and we had to walk the rest of the way steep right up to the summit where it was freezing cold. And eventually at about 6 a.m. in the morning, I wish I could tell you that the sun came up. It didn't come up. It burst forth from the bowels of the earth. I've never seen anything like that. There was an explosion of light. It was almost like God was giving birth to the declaration that he made back in the book of Genesis when he said, "And let there be light." And as I sat there on the summit of Mount Sinai, all of a sudden, this explosion just came from within the very bowels of the earth. I'm so used to the sun appearing in a gentle manner. And suddenly there it was, and it came forth, and these rays began to hit us. And I was taken back into the book of Exodus, where God took Moses, who was leading the children of Israel, and he said, "You just leave all the people down there in the valley." And they had to stay in the valley. And only one man, God's man, was permitted to go up, and he went right up into the top of Mount Sinai. And on the very summit of Sinai, God spoke. God spoke, and he said, "I want you to know something, Moses. I am the Lord your God, and thou shalt have no other gods before me." And after he had given the law to Moses, that which would govern the behavior both vertically and horizontally, the first four of the Ten Commandments dealing with man's relationship with God, and the last six of those commandments, how it is that God in our relationship with him enables us to be impacted in our living relationship with one another. And that everything that we do in relationship to one another is a direct reflection of our relationship with God. Therefore, do not steal, and do not commit adultery, and do not covet your neighbor's wife, and do not bear false testimony. And remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Worship the Lord your God. And one would have thought that when God spoke that, in his kindly, long-suffering disposition, that he would roll out just simply a series of suggestions to his people that they might consider, perhaps when they gathered together in their synod, or perhaps within the context of the constitution of the nation in which they live. Perhaps what God was saying from there, from the Mount of Sinai, was that people ought to consider what he was saying from when the perspective of political correctness. No, God was giving to them a set of mandates, for he is a consuming fire. He didn't say to Moses, "Moses, go and find yourself a good candidate that might best suit what I am saying." And he most certainly didn't say, "I want you as my people to know that whomever it is that you elect as my representative that will sit in your White House or in your parliament, that that person is going to have the capability and the capacity to change the hearts of my people." God never said that. "For I alone am the Lord your God." Shame on us, America. Shame on us, Christians.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on The Encouraging Word. And don't go away, he's got so much more to come in this message called A Long Walk to Mount Zion. That's coming up in just a few minutes. But he wants me to stop to remind you that we're available to have a conversation. It's not just a presentation, it's a conversation. And we're connecting keyboard to keyboard on our website, theencouragingword.org. I pray you'd nestle that away in your mind, or perhaps store this phone number, 866-899-WORD. And know that if you need someone to speak with, to pray with, we're here 24 hours a day. The number again is 866-899-9673. We'd also like to connect on our website, theencouragingword.org. It's long, I know, but when you think about it, theencouragingword.org, it's easy to remember. And of course, you'll find phone numbers, text lines, all sorts of ways to connect on socials and more with Dr. Don Wilton and all of us here at the Encouraging Word Broadcast Ministry. But now let's dive back in. Today's message is A Long Walk to Mount Zion, and this is Dr. Don Wilton.
And then there was one little problem God gave to Moses. He said, "I'm going to put a limit on these people." You can read about it in Exodus chapter 19. And as he began to speak, Mount Sinai began to shake at its very core, because this was God speaking. Even the very mountains shook. And God put a limit, and he told the people, "You're to stay in the valley." And so they began their journey from the valley. And they tried everything they could to comply, but they could not. For no man could. How can any imperfect person keep the law? For there is none righteous, no, not one. And so it is that Jesus came. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not die, but shall have eternal life. For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourself, not of the Ten Commandments, not of Mount Sinai. "Come with me," Jesus said, "for I am king. And I live forever, and I'm mediator between God and man, and the curtain has been torn. You now have access into the Holy of Holies, that now through Jesus Christ, you can come and stand on the pinnacle of Mount Zion, where you will live forever." I want to read this to you in Hebrews chapter 12. And I encourage you to open your Bibles there. This is what the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12. Perhaps it'll make a little more sense to you. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 18. Here's what God says through the writer to the Hebrews. Verse 18, "For you have not come to a mountain that cannot be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them by God. For they could not endure the order that was given to them." There's not one of us who can keep these commandments, my friends. "If even a beast touches the mountain, it may be stoned. Indeed, It was so terrifying in verse 21 was the sight that Moses even said, "I tremble with fear." Remember when Moses came and stood before God and God manifested himself in the burning bush? God said to him, "Moses, take off your shoes from upon your feet because the place whereupon you're standing is holy ground." And here is Moses on Mount Sinai, desperate for a word of encouragement for the people that languished in the valley below. These people who were continually hungry and these people that were facing unmitigated trials, these people who were searching for meaning and for peace and for happiness and joy, these people who continually grumbled no matter what they were given. He wanted a word, and God put a limit. And even Moses trembled with fear. But, verse 22, "You have come to Mount Zion. You've come to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable angels in joyful gathering, and to the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus Christ the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood even from the sacrifice of Abel, who did it right." So verse 25, "See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them from Mount Sinai on the earth, how much less will we escape if we reject him who is warning us from heaven?" From Mount Zion, at that time, on Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. But now from Mount Zion, he has promised, "Yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but I'm going to shake my entire creation." This phrase, "yet once more," indicates the removal of things that are shaken. That is, things that have been created, have been made in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, that's not dependent on the flimsiness of our weak personalities and humanity, not dependent on the death and the decay of the world in which we live. Let's fix our attention on that which lasts forever. My friends, look at me. I want to beg you today, please give your heart to Jesus. "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." Wow! This walk from the valley of Mount Sinai to the pinnacle of Mount Zion. Two things I just want to share with you here today as we try to understand it. This walk in God's economy began in the valley of Mount Sinai. There they were. There are hundreds and thousands of people today in our world who are still in that valley. God's giving you an invitation to come from out of the valley because he's removed the limits. He's taken away the barrier. He set us free. Do you know that there is not a single thing that you can do to merit your own salvation? You're still in the valley. You're still locked in to this legalism. You and I, we look at our church and we say, "That's it. If we go to church, we'll find favor with God. Our goodness, that's it. If we just are good people, we're going to find favor with God. That's it. If we're good citizens, we're going to find favor with God. That's it. If we just exercise our vote, that's it. God's going to find favor with us." We look at our money. We say, "Well, you know, we do give our money to our church and to the poor. That's it. If we just give, then God We look at all the things. If we just rear our children and raise them up in the knowledge and admonition of the Lord, if we remain faithful to our husbands and wives, that's it. If we read our Bible, that's it. If that's what you believe gives you eternal life, you're still in the valley. Albeit these things are wonderful. I want to be a good father and a grandfather, not in order to gain favor with God, but because I have gained favor with God through Jesus. I want to give my money to the church. I want to tithe. I want to support people. I want to help the weak, and I want to provide for the needy. Not in order to gain favor. I've left the valley. I'm on Mount Zion. Stop it. God's saying, come out of the valley. There were four things the Bible tells us in this passage about this journey that began in the valley. Number one, Mount Sinai was untouchable. That's what he tells us very clearly there in verse 18. Untouchable. People couldn't touch the mountain. They couldn't touch God. You didn't dare do that. It was untouchable. Number two, it was unbearable. Look what the Bible says in verse 18. This mountain that cannot be touched is a blazing fire encompassed by darkness and gloom and storms. In other words, what he is saying is that man, in man's attempt to try to reconcile himself to God, is going to come up with nothing but emptiness. Because it's not about man, it's all about God. Mount Sinai, God spoke. He declared himself untouchable. He declared himself unbearable. He let it be known. It was unattainable, according to verse 20. The Bible says, for they could not endure the order. Could I help us to understand how unattainable Mount Sinai is? Let's just go through the Ten Commandments again. Listen, folks, if keeping the Ten Commandments, if you'll beg my phrase, was our ticket to heaven, I wonder how many of us would get to heaven. So great is the forgiveness of God in Christ Jesus. So great. This grace of God, the love of our Heavenly Father, is so wonderful and awesome. He's a consuming fire.
This is the encouraging word, and as you can see, there's passion and earnestness and love in our pastor's preaching. His name is Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author, evangelist, and the pastor of Billy Graham for the last 25 years, an opportunity to see God now take his ministry, the ministry of Dr. Don Wilton, like so many others. Dr. Billy Graham influenced minister after minister after minister to be sure that it's about the main thing, and that's sharing Jesus. Perhaps you're young and don't know who Billy Graham is. Perhaps you are older and you do. But today is a day that, like Mr. Graham invited many, many people, is the day that you need to give your heart to Jesus Christ. As you heard our pastor, Dr. Wilton, say, I beg you to give your heart to Christ. I pray you would understand the urgency of that and how that needs to happen today. We do not believe that it's an accident that we have been producing this program and broadcasting it today so that you would receive it. And whether you're listening in the middle of the earbuds, working out, driving down the road, wherever you might be listening, we believe that God has intentionally wanted you to hear this love letter, this truth that God is using this broadcast to let you know he loves you and has a plan for your life. If you are developing questions about your relationship with Christ, let us help find those answers in the Bible itself, God's encouraging word. You can type those requests to us and communicate with us keyboard to keyboard on our website at theencouragingword.org, or we'd love to speak with you. In this day and age of texting and typing, sometimes the most refreshing thing is a conversation with a friend. 866-899-9673 is the phone number. You need to know, our pastor's earnest about this. We really want you to give your heart to Christ.
God has spoken to you, hasn't he? And you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on a cross. Right now,
I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much. And by the way, don't leave. Don't go away, whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
If the Lord has spoken to you, let us talk about it. Let us pray with you and put some resources in your hand that will help you for the next step. Our number again is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to connect with you. And right now, you can also go to our website, theencouragingword.org, to discover a great deal about who we are, why we do what we do, and how you can get involved, how you could even become an encourager to the Encouraging Word.
Hello, my friends. I want to speak to you personally today from my heart to yours. I don't think there is ever a better or more important time for us to respond to our world by standing up for righteousness. Now, with this in mind, I would like to invite you to become an encourager ministry partner. You see, together we can impact lives both now and for all time and all eternity. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please call the number on your screen and just simply say, I want to become an encourager. Thank you so much for helping me.
The phone number again is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Not just now during the broadcast, but 24 hours a day. We'd love to connect with you or online at our Encouraging Word website, theencouragingword.org. After the Encouraging Word broadcast is over, there's still a wonderful place to connect 24 hours a day. It's theencouragingword.org. You can visit our message archives, download Dr. Wilton's sermons, or sign up for our weekly podcast. A favorite button on our website is the prayer request button, where you can share a prayer request or personal need. Maybe you have a praise report or a testimony. Let us know so we can rejoice with you as well. You can also sign up for our daily Bible guide and have devotions sent to your email every single day. Now, if you have a question about your salvation, perhaps questions about how to share your faith with a friend, let us walk you through the steps to a personal relationship with Jesus and the ability to share that with others. If you're looking for a book from Dr. Wilton or maybe a CD or DVD, we have resources ready to send to you at the click of a button. No matter what the reason, we hope you'll connect with us today online at theencouragingword.org.
The Encouraging Word broadcast continues to be a blessing in my life. God has truly blessed me through your sermons. Each day, I read my Encouraging Word Bible guide or watch your program on Sundays. I desire to be closer and closer to God, closer than I've ever been. I have been disabled and homebound since 2006 and unable to attend my church. I have been deeply blessed by the Encouraging Word broadcast and your ministry. I desire to be a part of your ministry.